morning, if you take your Bible and turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 4, that's where we'll begin our study in just a moment, 2 Corinthians 4. Good to have some visiting with us. Good to have the Hearts with us. They're special to us. We're glad to have them here this morning and have others visiting with us. Encourage you to get your Bible and study with us. I have nothing but the intention of preaching the truth, and if you find I've taught something that's not in harmony with the Scripture, I consider you my friend. If you show me my error, I would make the proper correction. Or if you think I stated something in a way that's unbecoming of a Christian, I stand to be corrected. In a few moments, we'll stand and sing the song Brother Frank has suggested. You've now put on Christ in baptism. All things have been made ready. And you can make your life right with God this morning. Appreciated the prayers and the concern and for my trip, and glad to be back home with you all this morning. If you have your New Testament in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, I would like to read with you at verse 6. For it is the God who commanded light to shine out of darkness, who has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. I appreciate the statement penned by the Apostle Paul in verse 6 when the Apostle Paul gives us a glimpse into the face of Jesus Christ. And if you take note that Paul is telling all that Jesus is the very image of God. In Isaiah 53, Isaiah prophesied about the coming of the Christ. And I would like for just a few moments for us to get in our minds the face of Jesus Christ, to try to get a picture in our mind about the different expressions that Jesus may have portrayed. You know, John said in John 14 and verse 9, when Jesus was speaking, Jesus said, "If you've seen me, you've seen the Father." However, when you study the Bible, you'll find Jesus had different expressions when he walked upon the earth. And what I'd like to do is examine a few this morning. If you take your Bible, look, if you will, in the book of Matthew and the 17th chapter. And the first face of Jesus I would like to examine is the shining face of Jesus. In Matthew chapter 17, if you will, look at verse 1. In Matthew 17 and verse 1, the Bible says, "Now after 6 days, Jesus took Peter, James, and John, his brother, led them up on a high mountain by themselves, and he was transfigured before them. His face shone like the sun, and his clothes became as white as the light." If you have your Bible, take note in verse 2, the divine record said, "His face shone like the sun." I'd like to get into your mind and into my mind this morning the shining face of Jesus. Can you imagine what it was like on that occasion when Peter, James, and John had gone up on the mountain and Jesus was transfigured? Some say that was Mount Tabor. Some say that was Mount Hermon. Whatever the mountain, we know one thing, that Jesus, when he was on that mountain, his appearance changed. He was transfigured and his face shone like the sun. Then we find where Moses and Elijah appeared. And there is Peter, James, and John. And Peter seen Moses, Peter seen Elijah, said, "Let us make 3 tabernacles. But you'll remember on that occasion a voice from heaven spoke. And that voice said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased. Hear him." If you have your Bible, underscore the words, "Hear him." You know, when I see the shining face of Jesus, one thing I see is the face of authority. God the Father had given His Son all authority. No longer were they to be under the law of Moses. No longer were they going to be hearing the prophet Elijah as far as that dispensation. But now Jesus had come, and under Jesus we enter into a new covenant, a better covenant. And Jesus has all authority. In your Bible, in the book of Matthew, in the 28th chapter, in verse 18, Jesus said, "All authority has been given unto me." So the first thing I want to put in my mind this morning is when I look at the face of Jesus Christ and I see the shining face, I see the face of authority. I see the one who has been given all authority by God the Father, and he has the right to tell people what to do to enter into his kingdom. But then I begin to think about a second picture or a second expression when I thought about the face of Christ. Not only does one see the shining face, but if one looks, they'll see another expression in Matthew 23. in your Bible in the book of Matthew and the 23rd chapter. If you will, notice with me in verse 27. Jesus is overlooking the city of Jerusalem. And as Jesus overlooks the city, you'll find the expression of Jesus, a sad face. Not only do we see Jesus having a shining face, but now we can look at another expression and see a sad face. On this occasion, the face of Jesus is saddened. Why? Well, in verse 37, Jesus, when he oversees the city, says, "O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the one who kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to her, how often I wanted to gather your children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, but you were not willing." Have you ever thought that the face of Jesus on occasion was sad? There were times that you could look at the brow of his face, you could look at his expression, you could look at his demeanor, and what you would see would be a countenance that was sad. Why was his countenance sad? Because he had called people to be his disciples, he had called them to be his people, and they rejected that call. Open your Bible to the book of Matthew in the 7th chapter. And when you come to the book of Matthew in the 7th chapter, you can see the face of Jesus sad because people made the wrong choice. In Matthew 7, verses 13 and 14, Jesus talked about the narrow gate that leads to eternal life. But then he also talked about the broad way. And Jesus said the broad way leads to destruction. Then Jesus said, "Many go therein." Can you imagine the fact that Jesus, who left the glory of heaven and came to this earth, Jesus who left the glory of being with God the Father and dwelt amongst his creation, had come to redeem man, had come to save man, had come to take man back to God, and yet man in his own free will, in his own choice, often deliberately and willfully decides to go contrary to God. Can you not imagine the saddened face of one who loves you enough to die for you, and yet individuals continue to reject his plea? But I want to tell you another reason the face of Jesus was sad at times. Because Jesus had called people to obey him, and they may call him Lord, but they do not obey. Open your Bible to the book of Luke and the 6th chapter. And when you come to the book of Luke and the 6th chapter, notice the statement Jesus makes in verse 46. Jesus said, "But why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do the things which I say?" Now, can you imagine the expression of Christ? He looks down on his people and people call out and say, "Lord." They cry out, "Lord." But then they do not do the things he's commanded them to do. Jesus said, if you call me Lord, that means you submit to me. If you say that Jesus is Lord of your life, that means you're under his subjection. That means you obey. That means you follow. That means you do his will. And yet, my friend, so many people want Jesus as Lord, or so they claim, but they're not willing to obey him. I would to God that I could get into your mind, into my mind, an expression. I may not know exactly what the face of Jesus looked like, but sometimes I reckon that face was sad. And I can get into my mind a sad face when Jesus calls men to obedience and men will not obey. But then I think about in the book of Luke in the 18th chapter, when Jesus gave the parable of the Pharisee and the publican who went to the temple to pray. And Jesus talked about that publican who would not so much as lift his eyes to heaven but beat his chest and said, "Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner." That man went home justified. He recognized he needed God. But the Pharisee prayed within himself and said, "I'm thankful I'm not like that man." He said, "I fast, I tithe, I do all these things." And no doubt Jesus' face was saddened at times because men judge themselves by themselves. They compared themselves to others instead of what his word is. So I can put in my mind this morning the shining face of Jesus and see his authority. Then I can picture in my mind the face of Christ and see that face expressed at times with sadness. But then I think about a third thing. If you take your Bible, look, if you will, in the book of Luke and the 9th chapter. And when you come to the book of Luke and the 9th chapter, I see a third expression that I want to get into my mind. In Luke chapter 9, notice if you will, verse 51. It says, "Now it came to pass when the time had come for him to be received up, that he steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem." Now, have you ever stopped to think about the set face of Christ? Jesus knew what was awaiting him in Jerusalem. It was going to be a terrible death. He recognized he was going there to die for the sins of man. He recognized there was a cross upon Skull Hill. And there, my friend, Jesus deliberately set his face to go to pay the price for the sins of man. Can you not see that face set like stone? Can you not see Jesus set his jaw and say, "I must do the will of my Father"? Jesus said, "I will go to Jerusalem." Open your Bible, if you will, to the book of Matthew in the 16th chapter. You remember in Matthew 16, Jesus is in Caesarea Philippi, and as Jesus is preaching, and Jesus is teaching, he starts in verse 21, and it says, "From that time Jesus began to show to his disciples that he must," look at that, "must," it is essential, it is absolutely essential, "he go to Jerusalem," and then what? "And suffer many things from the elders and chief priests and scribes, and be killed, and be raised the third day." Jesus knew what was awaiting him. Then if you take your Bible, Peter took him aside, rebuked him, and said, "Far be it from you, Lord. This shall not happen to you." And what does Jesus say in verse 23? "Get behind me, Satan. You are an offense to me. You are not mindful of the things of God, but the things of men." Jesus had set his mind, Jesus had set his face to go to Jerusalem to fulfill the will of his Father. But then I want you to think about a fourth thing. When I think of another expression of Christ, not only have I seen the shining face that represents his authority, not only have I witnessed his sad face which represents his hurt over the fact many will not obey, then not only have I seen his set face that is determined to fulfill the will of the Father and die for the sins of man, but I see a stained face. Have you ever stopped and looked at the stained face of Christ? Have you ever noticed that through his life, his face was stained with different things? His face at times was stained with tears. Open your Bible to the book of John in the 11th chapter, and you'll find in verse 35, where at the tomb of Lazarus, Jesus wept. So many times we forget the fact that Jesus showed the expression of sorrow and he wept here at the tomb of Lazarus. Though he knew he would raise him from the dead, though he knew he had that power, as he stood next to the tomb, he saw the effect of sin. He saw what sin does to man, and Jesus wept. Oh, can you not see the sympathy and empathy of the Son of God at the tomb of Lazarus? And can you not see that face stained with tears? Then back in Luke 19, we talked about earlier Matthew 23, but go back to Luke 19, you get another picture of Jesus. This time, as he stands and looks over the city of Jerusalem, I stood near that place and I thought about what Jesus must have saw as he stood on the mountain and looked over the city. And I may not have been exactly where he was, but I can imagine as he stood on the mountain and saw the city, the Bible says in verse 41, he saw it and wept over it. Can you imagine the tears of the Son of God? And he says in verse 42, "If you had known, even you especially in this your day, the things that make for peace, but now they're hidden from your eyes." And he knew what was going to happen to that city, that Rome would destroy. Not one stone would be left unturned. There's the Son of the living God weeping over the city. But then if you have your Bible, turn to the book of Luke in the 22nd chapter. And when you come to the book of Luke in the 22nd chapter, you see Jesus on the Mount of Olives when he's coming down to that Garden of Gethsemane. And while he's in the Garden of Gethsemane, he is weeping. And what is it that Jesus says? Jesus says in verse 42, "Father, if it is your will, take this cup away from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done." The Son of the living God, staining his face with tears. But then I want you to think about something else. Not only was his face at times stained with tears, his face was stained with sweat. Look again in the book of Luke in the 22nd chapter and notice as Jesus is there that in verse 44 it says, "And being in agony, he prayed more earnestly. Then his sweat became like great drops of blood falling down to the ground." Oh, can you imagine that face that is stained with sweat and tears? Do you not see he's in great agony? He knows what's about to happen. And can you not see the face of the Son of God stained with tears and sweat? Oh, I would I had the ability to put that into my heart like I should. But then I want you to think about something else. Open your Bible, if you will, to the book of Mark in the 15th chapter. And when you come to the book of Mark in the 15th chapter, look, if you will, at verse 19. In verse 19, not only do you see his face stained with sweat and tears, but you see it stained with spit. In verse 19, they struck him on the head with the reed. They spat on him. They bowed the knee. They worshipped him. They mocked him. In Isaiah chapter 15, verse 6, he said, "I did not hide my face from spit and shame." Can you imagine when they looked in the face of the Son of the living God and spit there? And there he took it. But I want to tell you something else. That face was stained with blood. Oh, where they put the crown of thorns upon his head and the blood trickled down. Can you get that picture in your mind? Can you see the face of the Son of God? The face where they plucked the hairs from his beard. The face that was smitten. Oh, and it talks about in Matthew 26, 67, 68, where they beat the face of the Son of God. I see the smitten face. The beaten face. But then in Matthew 27, I see another picture. In Matthew 27, I see where they take the Son of God off the cross. I see where they take Jesus down and they wrap that body in verse 59. I see the shrouded. I see the cold face. You know, it's unbelievable that when death comes, how cold the face comes when one takes that last breath. And they take the body, they wrap the body, they lay it in the tomb. And I want to tell you something, my friend. If that was the last time they saw the face of Christ, that would be a terrible way to end a sermon. But have you ever thought about the seen face? Have you ever thought that they saw him again? That after 3 days in the tomb, Jesus arose from the dead. My hope is not in a dead Jesus. My hope is in a risen Christ. And in John chapter 20 and verse 17, Mary saw him and she clung to him. And she said, "Don't cling to me, but go tell the disciples." And in John 20:20, the disciples saw him. And in John 20:29, Thomas saw him. And in 1 Corinthians 15:8, Paul saw him. And 500 others saw him. What did they see? They saw the face of the resurrected Christ. He's not in a grave in Jerusalem. He's not in some tomb. I'll tell you, my friend, the tomb of Jesus is empty. He is raised from the dead by the power of God. I want to take that and make three or four thoughts and lessons. The first thing I want to think about is, would you make his face sad? I want to know this morning how many people here have heard the gospel preached. They've heard the truth. They know what they need to do, but they keep believing the lie of this world, and they will not submit themselves to the obedience to God. They will not submit themselves to the authority of Christ. And I've often thought about how many people have heard the word, but they've not believed and they've not obeyed. I'll tell you what you do. You're adding to the tears of the face of the Son of God. Secondly, if I could get in your mind the shining face of Christ, and you saw that he had all authority, I tell you what you'd do this morning. You wouldn't quibble about baptism. You wouldn't quibble about obedience. You'd say, "Lord, you speak and I'll obey." What I need in my heart and what you need in your heart this morning is to understand that the face of Christ is the face of all authority. But I want to bring up a third thing. Our face is going to be stained with tears. There's going to be times we see the death of a loved one. And there's going to be the condition of society. And there's going to be troubles we face. And in our time, it will be many times our own problems. But you know what our hope is in? That though our face may be stained with tears, in Revelation 21:4, there's coming a day that the child of God will have every tear wiped away by the finger of God. In Revelation 21:4, look at what John said. John said in verse 4, God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. I'd be happy for an angel to do that. I remember when I was a little boy, I got hurt. And I remember I went to my mother. And I'll never forget, I didn't want my friends to see me cry, but when I got to mama, I didn't care that she saw it. And I just was bawling. And I said, don't let them see. And she was wiping away my tears. Can you imagine being in the presence of God? And every pain and every problem we've experienced, He wipes away that tear and He says, you can come into my home because here you're not going to have me. I look forward to that day. Because I want to tell you, we shed a lot of tears here. But I want to tell you one thing I worry about. How many will shed tears through eternity? In Matthew 8, you remember what Jesus said? He said, these will be cast into what? Everlasting darkness where there's what? Weeping and gnashing of teeth. You think you shed tears here, my friend. If you miss heaven, you'll shed them through all eternity. And whatever pain we've experienced here, that's nothing compared to the pain of being separated from God and being separated from the face of Jesus Christ. In your Bible in 1 John chapter 3, you remember that John is writing and he says in verse 2, beloved, now we are children of God and it has not been revealed what we shall be, but we know that when He is revealed, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. There's coming a day we're going to see. And in Revelation chapter 1, look at what John said in verse 7. He said, behold, He is coming with clouds, and every eye will see Him, even they who pierced Him. I have a question for you this morning. Are you still piercing? Open your Bible to the Hebrew letter in the 10th chapter. Notice what the Hebrew writer said. In verse 29, he says, of how much worse punishment do you suppose will He be thought worthy who has trampled the Son of God underfoot, counted the blood of the covenant by which He was sanctified a common thing, and insulted the grace, Spirit of grace? In other words, you're crucifying Christ afresh. There are people today that need to see the face of Christ. And on the day of judgment, I ask you one thing. What expression will He give you? Will He give you a smile and say, welcome home. Enter into the joys of my Father. Or will it be an expression of sadness? And He says, depart. I never knew you. You did not do what I told you. What do you see in the face of Christ? If you're here this morning, you need to obey the gospel. We pray you come. As together we stand and sing.